Frank. Last Sunday in 2020. I think we've all been waiting for this day, right? Roadmaps. Now, some of you might, looking at the title, might be, it's like a roadmap for life. You might be thinking, what is a roadmap? Because this is, it's an antique, it's ancient technology. Now, what it basically is we have our GPS on our phones. It's a paper version, okay? But I remember when I was 9 years old, my grandparents took us to Disney World. And we drove. Of course, I didn't drive. I was nine. It would be fun, though, right? I was 9 years old, and I remember they had just a lot and lot of roadmaps. They also had AAA, too, so AAA highlighted the trip the entire way, and so they could do that. But a roadmap, you got to read it, and you got to do that. It's just not as good as GPS. It's got a yes, it is, from someone. You got to look, and you have to read it. And you have to be able to buy the road signs, and you pay attention to the road signs to figure out where you are. You see, in life, can I just say there's some road signs. And the Bible is our map. And so this morning I want to just look, knowing that this is the last Sunday in 2020. And can I be honest? I just get a little joy when I say that. It's the last Sunday in 2020. Now, saying that, the one thing I know is that, yes, it's been a little different. And for a lot of people, it's been a little difficult. And I would love to tell you that 2021 is going to be so much better. But I can't. You see, I don't know what's going to happen in 2021. Can I tell you, it's not probably all going to be good, but it's not also all going to be bad. But no matter what, we have God to guide us. And so I want to look this morning at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, and look at a road map for life. A road map for life. The first thing, on this road map, the first sign that we see, the first road sign that we see is how to meet the difficulties in life. How to meet the difficulties in life. Let me just say, difficulties are going to come. We all know that. Difficulties are going to come. We live in a sin-cursed world. Hard times, troubles, they are inevitable. You look at Job chapter 5, verse number 7, it says, "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." 9 chapters later, in verse number 1, it says, "Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble." I can verify this. I have an 18-month-old. Yesterday, I was out of the house for a moment, and my wife was apparently trying to help my son pick up some toys. Charlie, he's the cutest little kid. He's a great kid. I'm not saying he's a terrible kid, but he had a wooden block in his hand and decided to chuck it at my wife's head and hit her in the temple. Let's just say she was a little hurting, and let's just say he was in a little bit of trouble. But even as an 18-month-old, he's a little stubborn kid. And it seems like every 2 seconds, I'm telling him, don't touch that. Don't touch that. Don't touch that. Don't try to put that in the outlet. Don't touch that. He's full of trouble. Difficulties come. Some self-caused. Some things that God allows in our life to teach us, to grow us. But how do we meet these difficulties in life? Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." And I want to first take a look at the end of this verse. It says, "And lean not unto thine own understanding." You know, there's a human response to difficulties. There is a human response to difficulties. We look at this verse. It says, "Lean not unto thine own understanding." It says, that word lean there, It literally means to support yourself. It literally means to support yourself, to pull yourself up by the bootstraps, to get it done in your own power. Can I just say, reading and studying that part of the verse was convicting. Because a lot of times when difficulties come, when I study that verse, I realize, you know what? That's me. That's me. I like to pull myself up by the bootstrap. I like to try to get it done and solve it myself. Yeah, I have small children now, and so it's kind of funny. My illustrations either, you know, my children are included in them, or just has something to do with my children. But when I think about this and thinking about the leaning into your own understanding, I can't help but think about Thomas the Train Engine. I think I can. And so many times we think we can. But when we're honest with ourselves, we know we can't. In our own strength, in our own power, we can't do it. Rick Mayeris, who's a former men's basketball coach at the University of Utah and an ESPN commentator, he once says, "Everyone is worried about the economy this year." I kind of think that's every year, let's be real. Says, but hey, my hairline is in recession, my waistline is in inflation, and altogether, I'm in depression. You see, when we lean on our own understanding and try to support ourselves, it always leads to worry. It always leads to anxiety, discouragement, and depression. You might say, you know, right now I'm fine. But when you keep going in your own wisdom, in your own way, in your own strength, that is where it will always, always lead. There was an article written a while ago just talking about powerful men and self-made men who committed suicide. And just talking about that, it was Dr. Walter Smithson, a psychiatrist and director at Central Psychiatric Clinic in Cincinnati, Ohio. He said this: self-made men who have come from nothing to build an outstanding careers are at high risk for suicide, especially when they are about to face disgrace. See, when we build and build and build and build in our own strength and going our own way, can I just say, sooner or later, you're going to face trouble. Sooner or later, you're going to face trials. And when you've built your ladder apart from God's solid foundation, when you built your life apart from God's solid foundation, and it comes crashing down, you have nothing to catch you. See, the Bible says, "A just man falleth seven times and riseth yet again." There's a reason for that. It's because we have the Lord. The human response for difficulty is just leaning on your own self. But there is, I want to tell you this morning, there are heavenly resources for difficulties. There are heavenly resources for difficulties. I love my son. I'm gonna give you a better illustration with my son now. But my son, even at 18 months old, has times of trouble and difficulties. Has times when he, be honest, doesn't really know how to handle a situation. Can you imagine that at 18-month-old? But it's so beautiful when those times happen. Do you know what his immediate reaction is? He turns around. He puts his hands up in the air like this and starts walking forward and says, "Dada, dada, dada." He runs right to his father. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, beginning of the verse says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That word trust there really means to run hastily to a refuge. To run hastily to a refuge. For my son, my little squirt, when trials and hard times come, I'm his refuge. He comes to me because he knows I can help him.
our Father in heaven, Christian, is our refuge. He can and wants to help you. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27 says, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall destroy them." 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 3 says, "The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge. My Savior, thou savest me from violence." Psalm 9:9. "And the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble." Psalm 46:1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how little money you have. Trials and trouble are going to come. I'll never forget at the beginning of this year in January, I was just working here, and I'm a basketball fan. In fact, I'm a Los Angeles Lakers fan. Been one since I was a little child. My cousin gave me a little Lakers squishy basketball, and I've been a Lakers fan ever since. But I remember just working here, and then all of a sudden, looking at my Facebook page real quick and seeing that Kobe Bryant had passed away. And it was kind of shocking. And to be honest, first I didn't believe it, because he's strong. He's at the top of his game. He's starting a new stage in his life. But it was true. Strong, wealthy, his family, wealthy, in a good place. You know, everyone just in a worldly sense would think that they're invincible. And I even remember listening to some sports commentators saying just how much it caught them off guard. And there's so many times when we're in a position in our lives where we think, you know what, wow, this is going so good. But it doesn't mean that difficulties and troubles and trials can't come. I remember listening to one of the sports commentators and just listening to him and said, you think about if you made a list of people who are going to live until their 80s and 90s and who are going to just have such a huge impact on the world for years and years to come. He said, Kobe Bryant was at the top of that list. He said, his death made me think about my own mortality. Trials and troubles are going to come. And when they do, we can take advice from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know, my son, when he's crying, when he's hurt, when there's something that's wrong, he can come to me. He knows he can come to me. He knows that I will soothe him. He knows that I will comfort him. He knows that I care about him. And God cares for you. Can I just say this? I care for my son greatly. I want the best for him. Can I just say this? I don't want to make sure that he gets everything I didn't get. I want to make sure that he knows everything I wish he would have known, that I would have known when I was younger. I want the best for him. But with how much I want the good for my son, God wants it even more for my son. And God wants it even more for you. Joseph Scriven reminded us in his great hymn, says this, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise, forsake you? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms, he'll take and shield you. You will find a solace there. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse number 4 says, but when they are in trouble, did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, and he was found. How do we meet the difficulties in life? We trust in the Lord. We trust in the Lord. Secondly, the second road sign that we come to on this roadmap for life is how to maintain devotion in life. How to maintain devotion in life. When I was growing up with our church, we had neighborhood Bible time. It was a week-long teen rally with preaching. And every Friday night, we would go out to a church member's property, the same place every year, and they would have a bonfire set up. Now, this, you're thinking bonfire, you're thinking like, you know, this high off the ground. I'm saying that this bonfire set up here would reach from the floor to the ceiling. This was a bonfire. It was hot. I remember, in my later years as a teenager, I would go with my youth director, even help set it up. And it took a lot of work. I mean, it was two stories high, not even kidding. Two-story high bonfire. And when that would be lit up, you'd have to get a good at least 50 feet away from that thing. And you'd still be hot. I'm not even kidding. It was crazy hot. But even that ginormous fire, after a while, you know what? It was gone. It would fizzle out. It would be cool enough that we could go with the marshmallows and stand right over top. It started out so red hot. I can still remember how hot it was, and just constantly having to sit back. I remember one year we all started, you know, at this point, but then as the fire really, and they started the fire as we were sitting there. Even during the preaching, to really add effect, you know, for the preaching. And I remember them starting it, and then after a second, we moved back a couple feet. Then after another second, we moved back 10 feet. And then we just kept moving back and back and back and back because it got so hot. It was a cold fall night. And again, sooner or later, it died down. The flame died out. And how many times do we see it? Someone's at a revival meeting where someone gets saved and someone God gets a hold of a person and that fire just burns red hot inside of them. They have a zeal for God. But after a while, that fire fizzles out. Charles Spurgeon said, we need red-hot, white-hot men who glow with intense heat, who you cannot approach without feeling your heart is growing warmer, who burn their way in all positions straight on to the desired work, men like thunderbolts flung from Jehovah's hand, crashing through every opposing thing till they have reached the target aimed at, men impelled by omnipotence. When we think about maintaining our devotion, it starts with our acquaintance to God. It starts with our acquaintance to God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 6, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So that first part of the verse, in all thy ways acknowledge. acknowledge him. The word acknowledge speaks of knowing a person, becoming acquainted with that person, knowing them intimately. Do you know God intimately? Do you know who he is? In fact, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Amen." It's not just enough. If I were to ask this question, raise your hand. I'm not going, you don't have to raise your hand. Raise your hand if you know God. I think everyone would raise their hand. I would hope so. But if I were to ask this question, how many of you in the last couple of days have grown in your knowledge of who God is? It's a completely different question. Because so many people, so many Christians, they trust Christ and they're hungry and they feed and they feed and they feed and they come to know him more and more. But after a while, they go on a diet. And they don't think they really need to know God. They know God enough. It's not enough just to know him. As Christians, if we are going to maintain devotion to him, we need to continue to learn and to know him more and more and more every single day. Eliza E. Hewitt was an invalid for most of her life because of a spinal condition. Out of her experiences of suffering and being confined to a bed, she developed an intimate relationship with the Lord. I think her words that she once wrote just hit the nail on the head. "More about Jesus, let me learn. More of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me." A growing knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is essential in keeping our hearts red hot. You know, someone once said of learning, he has no inclination to learn more will be very apt to think that he knows enough. He has no inclination to learn will be very apt to think he knows enough. Can I just say this? We are finite. We are finite. We are not all-knowing. We do not know it all. In fact, if we are honest with ourselves, we know very little. And we have an infinite God. And can I tell you just one of the most exciting things about heaven? I am finite. He is infinite. Therefore, for all of eternity, I will get to know him more. You know, a lot of people think that getting to heaven will be so boring because all we do is worship God. No. In heaven, we get to worship God and get to know him more forever and ever and ever. You think you know God now? Wait till then. You'll get to know him and get to know him and get to know him for all of eternity. And he will never be exhausted. You'll always get to know him more. I'm looking forward to that, amen? That's exciting. If we're going to maintain our devotion, we need to acknowledge. We need to acknowledge. We need our acquaintance with God needs to be there. We need to keep growing in his knowledge, growing in his grace. But we also need to be aware of God. We also need to be aware of God. Again, I have an 18-month-old, but to be honest, he's just getting to this point. But and he's done it a couple times. But I've seen other children. And I remember talking to a friend of mine, and he was watching his daughter, and she had a fork. And this was back in 2008, and so he was telling me this was a long time ago. And he said she had a fork. and she had gotten it. He didn't know where she got it from, but he knows that he caught her walking right toward the outlet. She was going to put said fork into said outlet. And he told her no. And that was it. And he grabbed the fork and everything was, you know, supposedly good. Well, somehow she got a hold of another fork. And she thought he was not watching. In fact, he was watching her the entire time, the second time. And he watched her as she got the fork and she started walking towards the outlet and she stopped. And she looked to make sure that no one was watching. And as she started out again, her dad said, "Hey, no." See, the only reason that she was going to do that is because she wasn't aware of the watchful eye of her father. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6 says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him." In all thy ways. I think we've all heard this. All means all, and that's all means. In all thy ways, in everything that you do, acknowledge the Lord. Listen, the Lord is not someone that we can just have occasional fellowship with. Okay? The Lord is not someone we can just have occasional fellowship with. We can't just be Sunday, Wednesday Christians. In other words, we live our life however we want to without really thinking about God too much, except when we pray before we go to bed or pray to eat meals, but then we really just do what we want. The Lord is not someone we can just have occasional fellowship with. In every single thing we do, we need to be aware of his presence. Your whole life needs to be Christ-centered. Your purpose in life should be Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that we're all going to do the same thing. God has a specific will for each one of us. But whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. We need to have an awareness of God, and we need to have fellowship with God at all points in our life. The first road sign we see is how to meet the difficulties in life. Then we see the next road sign, how to maintain devotion in life. And lastly, let's look at the last road sign that we see in this verse, how to make decisions in life. Again, let's look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 6. As it says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." See, the highway of life often brings us face to face with important decisions that must be made. Now, here's the promise that we have, that God will guide you and that he will direct your path. And he shall direct thy paths. Psalm 32, verse 8 says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." Psalm 48, 14 says this, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Jonathan Oxham wrote this, "Not for one single day can I discern the way, but this I surely know, that he who gives the day will show the way surely as I go." Another person wrote this. I don't know who wrote this, but another person wrote this. He says, "He does not lead me year by year, nor even day by day, but step by step my path unfolds. My Lord directs my way. Tomorrow's plans I do not know. I only know this minute, but he will say, this is the way by faith. Now walk ye in it. I am glad that it is so. Today's enough to bear. And when tomorrow comes, his grace shall far exceed its care. What need to worry then or fret? The Son, the God who gave his Son, holds all my moments in his hand and gives them one by one. We know who holds tomorrow. Can I just say this, that the Lord's paths, they are proper paths. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The word direct there, it was sometimes used, and it's sometimes used to speak of that which was straight or even. Can I say this? The Lord always directs in straight paths. He will never lead you wrongly. You never have to fear him leading you in a way that will bring hurt or harm to you. Now, that doesn't mean that his paths won't lead through difficulties. It doesn't mean that his paths won't lead through trials. I mean, you look at Paul, okay? Beaten, whipped, imprisoned, shipwrecked. But can we be honest? Lord's path for him was a proper path. Think about the paths of man that man choose. When we respond to difficult times and in our own ways, the Bible in Proverbs 2:15, speaking of that, says, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. The word crooked speaks of that which is distorted, and the word froward speaks of that which is turned aside. See, when we do our own thing and make our own decisions without acknowledging, without being acquainted with God, without being aware of God, that's when we get off the right path. It's when we get off the prosperous path. Left to our own ways, we often choose the distorted path that turn us aside from the right path. Reader's Digest once carried a story that told of how the New York State conservationist had published a list of pointers on what to do if you become lost in the woods. The fifth and last recommendation said this: don't yell, don't run, or don't worry, and above all, don't quit. And their very last thing they said, better yet, ask the Forest Service what you should do. You know what they are saying? Go to the right authority. Go to the right authority. If we are going to be able to travel down the proper paths and not get lost on the road of life, we need to consult the proper authority. The Lord's paths, though sometimes hard, though sometimes difficult, they are proper paths. And in the end, can I say this? They're proper paths, but they're also prosperous paths. The word direct in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It also carries the idea of that which is prosperous. The best paths through life are the Lord's paths. He will always lead you in the paths for your good and his glory. Now, we've all had times where we've gone down a path that we should not have gone down, and has led to a place where we never should have been. We've all had those times. That's when we, like Peter, when he began to sink in the water, need to look back to the Lord, and he will lift us up. The just man will rise again, as the Bible says. But when we let the Lord direct our lives, we'll still find difficulties. But you know what you won't find? You're still going to find difficulties. You're still going to find troubles. You're still going to find some hard times. But when you let God lead you, when you let God lead you down the prosperous, down the right path, down his path, his will for your life, you know what you won't find? Regret. You won't find regret. You know what else you won't find? Complaints. You're not going to find regrets. You're not going to find complaints. Listen, Paul was beaten, shipwrecked, imprisoned, whipped. He went through a lot. But I think if he was standing here right now, you know what he would say? It was a good path. It was a prosperous path. And God looked out for me every single step of the way. And if God would have him do it again, you know what I think he would do? I think he would do it again. Because it's worth it. It's worth it. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Keep some fuel. Keep some fuel on the fire. Allow yourself to burn red hot, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We all know Romans chapter 8 verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. You know, we hear so often that, you know, in the midst of trial, you can't really see what's going on, and you can't, you know, you get behind, then you can see how God was working. And then, you know, that's true. But at the same time, we have a roadmap. We have God's word. We know that what he does, the path that he leads us down, is good. Can I say that's how Paul and that's how Peter were able to go through the trials in their life? That's how Paul and Silas were able to sing in the prison? Let's be honest. How many of us would be singing tonight in prison if we were cast into prison today? But because they knew the roadmap, because they knew the path they were on was prosperous, because it was God's path, they could sing. They had hope. Because God's paths bring hope. No matter how troublesome, no matter how many trials, no matter how many difficulties, God's paths bring hope. Why? Because he is hope. So my question this morning, do you want your way to be prosperous? Not prosperous. I'm not saying it's necessarily prosperous here on earth. Because we're not supposed to lay up treasure in heaven. We're supposed to lay up treasure. We're not supposed to lay up treasure on earth. Let me re-say that. We're supposed to lay up treasure in heaven. This is not the goal. This is not the goal. Can we praise the Lord for that? That is the goal. God is the goal. Will we let him direct our paths so that when the difficulties in life come, we can meet them with him? So that we can also maintain devotion to him. And so that when the decisions come that need to be made, and let's be honest, those are every single day, so that we can make the right decision and go down the right path, go down the Lord's path. Will you let God use you? And will you let God direct?